Okay, I'd like to introduce our next guest and our last guest of the marathon. Now, when this man was born, they broke the mold because there's only one. And maybe that's a good thing because, you know, he's an original and he has fantastic information, running a brilliant radio show all the way down in New Zealand. I'd like to introduce Mr. Vinnie Eastwood. Good evening, Vinnie. How are you doing?
Not terribly well, to be honest with you, man. There's been like 20, 30 hours or some ridiculous amount of hours of radio I've done so far this week. And this being one of the days off when I was just like, oh, awesome, man. I could chill out. I don't have any responsibilities to commentate on the
And you just realized that you were invited to do a marathon.
Nah, I knew it well ahead of time, so I was just doing that for effect. But I was also kind of feeling like, you know how the elections have burned everybody out, right? Like, it's especially affected me very hard. Okay. When I say the word, does the hair on the back of your neck stick up? Do you get like a raw feeling in your throat, like you're going to yell in a bullfrog type manner? That kind of thing. Here's the word.
Okay.
Election.
Yeah, definitely.
Election.
Yeah. Suddenly you're starting to feel sick. Suddenly you're starting to feel angry. And I was just thinking about this. How long is the election going on for? Like a good 6 months or whatever, being talked up for all the rest of them. And it's like, is this a mass trauma media experiment on everybody? Well, whether or not it's intentional, the fact of the matter is, if you know the truth about what's going on in the world and you know that both presidents are completely irrelevant, you suddenly recognize that every single word that comes out of their mouth is not just one lie, but about eight different lies all intersected together per word.
Well, definitely. In a lot of ways. Well, I just said to Dr. Michael Castle that we had on, you know, you had your Romney and you have your Obama, and that's like choosing which, you know, if you have two muggers, which mugger do you want to mug you? That's basically what it is.
Well, it was more like, what do you want? Do you want the arsenic or the cyanide?
Yeah.
And some people will vote for the arsenic because they go, oh, I'm allergic to cyanide.
Yeah, exactly. As if it's relevant. Yeah.
Well, and again, the word relevant, they no longer are.
Exactly.
Everything.
Well, tell
every us. Every single thing in the entire system. From start to finish, to the banking, to the medical industrial complex, with the military and the everything, every single freaking strut of how our government and how our international community currently functions, whether that be through the United Nations or through any number of other umpteen globalist funded NGO organizations.
Well,
it's defunct. It's all totally defunct. And this is the problem that people have, is that you can't see the problem in its entirety because you can't see everything at once. I mean, it'd be like seeing in 360-degree vision. It's not possible. You can't figure out what the hell is going on in every single sector. So I've seen people split off and go into individual sectors and just go like, well, here's a big problem here, false flag terrorism. So let's spend a decent portion of my life and my time and my educational capacity to expose that. But again, it's only one. But you've got another person right next to him who's exposing, say, false climate change. And these two guys don't know each other, but they're still working together whether or not they realize it. And so on and so forth down the chain. It's what I've called the tactic of the cactus. I think that humanity has naturally reacted to protect itself much in the same fashion that an immune system has. And where the tactic of the cactus comes into it is a cactus covers itself from every direction in spines so that any attacker will get a little prick to remind them. And I am quite certain that all of us are a little prick in our own way, in a really loving, caring sense of the word.
Well, it's loving and caring. Actually, we approached this subject last week on our radio show regarding certain areas. Now, you know, this is a geopolitical Jigsaw globally. And it's fantastic that a lot of the areas in the truth movement, whether it's a radio station or it's a newspaper or whatever website, cover different areas. Because if we all covered the same area, it'd be quite boring. And this is so big that we need to cover everything. And there's a little bit of crossover and lap over, but mainly it's fantastic that we can get so much covered. The problem is waking up the sheeple. That's the problem. So it's really
I don't think so, man. I don't think the sheeple need to wake up. It's not even necessary. You have a look at how many revolutions have ever been fought throughout history and what percentage of the population usually does it take. American Revolution, 3%. Gandhi's Revolution, I think that was like 4%, maybe even less. Chinese Revolution, when they put in Chairman Mao, 1%. So never underestimate the power of a small, determined minority. And I'm very, very frustrated that so many truthers who are that determined minority, who are incredibly intelligent and very effective at what they do. One man with a camera going up to ask a scumbag a question in front of a whole bunch of sheeple actually serves not to wake up said sheeple, because they'll just laugh it off and go, ah, he's crazy. But all the other truthers watching that video online of you being choked and dragged out just for asking a perfectly reasonable question on the war in Iraq, it emboldens us all. Mm. I see all of us media activists as merely the propaganda arm of an extremely small but very powerful and creative minority that will one day lead the sheeple out of the slaughterhouse. Because, you know, what do sheep follow? Sheep follow their shepherds, right? Mm. And they follow whatever shepherd is put in front of them. Mm. So all you've got to do is just replace the current shepherd. And instead of leading them into a slaughterhouse, lead them through the gate onto greener pastures. I mean, that's a humanity I'd like to see. Mm. But most people in our position shy away from leadership, because leadership bears an awfully large amount of responsibility, and they may feel that they're not ready to take on such responsibilities. Okay. I feel, go ahead.
I was just going to say, do you get angry? Do you get frustrated and angry of what you see, and sometimes frustrated that you feel you can't do anything about it?
Well, it depends. Angry at what? Am I angry at the instance of it happening, or am I angry at the people who ignore the fact that it's going on?
Angry at that these people are doing what they're doing and getting away with it, and you feel frustrated that you can't do anything. That anger, how dare they do what they do. You know, when you're awake and you know what's going on.
I don't know, man, because I have personally walked up to ambush Helen Clark, who's number 3 at the UN, dispensing $9 million or getting a $9 million salary and having a $9 billion budget, mostly for vaccines for Africa. And we asked her questions about the New World Order. We drank their wine, ate their deviled mushrooms, and all of this other stuff. We dressed up like douchebags, you know, really nice plush suits and dress shirts and all of that kind of stuff. You just infiltrate into these people's world, and you realize that they don't suspect a thing. They think that they're absolutely untouchable. And all of a sudden, a couple of guys with a camera come up and start asking you some very, very scary questions. And then, boom, I wind up in a magazine published by my friend Ian Wishart, who's one of New Zealand's top journalists. The reason why people are frustrated and feel that they can't do anything is because they're not doing anything. Mm. Right? Yeah. Get the frack out there and do something if you're frustrated about nothing happening. Mm. I've got 1,000-plus videos online. I've got more subscribers than the New Zealand Herald, which is the New York Times of New Zealand. I am... These mainstream media here, because I took responsibility and got frustrated and then started doing something, they're having their asses handed to them. Mm. Not by everybody, just by me alone. Mm. Okay, I am frustrated, but not because I can't accomplish anything. Mm. I'm frustrated because I have yet to accomplish enough. Is the New World Order overthrown? Are we still being poisoned? Are we still being brainwashed? Are we still having our family units ripped apart? Yeah. Okay. Well, then the job ain't fracking finished yet.
Exactly.
The White Hat Society, yesterday, I think, released a list of known individuals and corporations who are now being prosecuted. This includes John Corzine and the secretary of some Shiite Muslim, lots of banks, JP Morgan, and all of this stuff. You know, all the usual suspects that you would expect to be engaging in financial scumbaggery. They've now entered into a court case. And you know how many people heard about that? You know, it took one of my listeners actually calling into my show yesterday to inform me of this. Okay? If you want to look for things that are discouraging, you'll find more than you can handle. Same thing if you look for things that are encouraging. There's a whole universe out there. But because of the nature of news and how we've been brought up to interpret it, we're always attempting to look for the bad news and not accepting that the good news is actually real and is, in fact, far more numerous, but just never gets reported.
Mm. Well, you know, good news doesn't sell. You know that yourself, Finn. You know, newspapers will tell you that. If you have good news stories, they won't sell.
I beg to differ. I think, well, here's another thing. How can you change bad news into good news? Well, you listen to the Vinnie Eastwood show, and I'll tell you stuff that would ordinarily be delivered in a gruff tone by some patriot in some sort of news bunker with like a 73 cigarette butts stabbed out in the ashtray next to him, talking about how scary it is and how he misses America, and then you hear me say it, and you're laughing your ass off. So I've turned the bad news into something that's freaking hilarious.
Mm.
I think that's about as close as I can come to covering the bad news at the same time. It's like, let's be aware of it, but shed our fear of it.
Yeah. Oh, fear is the big thing. We have to get rid of the fear.
And how many times? Oh my God. I'm just remembering something now. Yesterday, have you ever listened to like mainstream talk radio? You're like, oh God, you know, and sometimes you have this feeling like, man, if I turn this on right now, they're going to be talking about something I could possibly really get into. You know, there might be somebody out there with who's exposing scumbaggery coming on the media today. And so I turned it on, and the radio show host says, okay, now for 2 hours, we are going to allow callers to call in and talk about anything they want to do with sport.
There you go.
Oh shit! Oh my God!
But you know they're controlled. You know the mainstream media. I mean, they have these. Obviously, you put them down to government departments who regulate radio stations with their licenses. And if they're doing anything that they shouldn't be doing, they'll be threatened to lose the license. Now, does that side of it? And then the other side is that they won't have you touch the subject, because we know we've had the guys from the Sovereign Independent interviewed. They did a pre-record with a radio station in Dublin. And basically the radio station edited the hell out of the interview, and it made the person look like a tinfoil wearing, space cadet. And it was just ridiculous, really ridiculous. But that's what you're up against. So the lesson learned really was that, you know, if you are going to do mainstream media, make sure it's live. Now, we're doing a show, myself and Steve are doing a show on Monday on mainstream radio in Dublin. But it's going to be a live show. And we know the guy who's actually doing the show has an open mind to everything that's going on. So that's, half the battle.
You have to research the person who's interviewing you.
Well, we know the person who knows another person who runs his radio station. And we spoke...
Here's what you do, is you look at all of their previous works, okay? And then you have a look at their producers and stuff like that, and you ask them, well, what... Do just a modicum of investigation and Googling, and you can come up with numbers of articles or videos that these people may have done. And you can get a general feel for how they'll treat you. For instance, I had a journalist called Alistair Bone from the Waikato Times here in New Zealand, working for Fairfax Media, coming in here, with a cameraman and with a snapping photos of me while I'm doing my radio show and all that kind of stuff. The only reason why he was allowed through my door is because I'd read a couple of his articles and he's talking about things that are, well, essentially of little interest to people, but are relatively interesting to me from a sociological standpoint. Like, for example, he did a bunch of articles about where new immigrants in the particular region where he is in Waikato are all living now. What are their living habits? How are they adjusting to a new life? So you look at that kind of article and the way that it's written, you think, oh, okay, this guy's got some kind of investigative capacity, and also he's looking at things that are catering to a more minority audience that would want decent information rather than just tripe, something specific. And then you have a look at he won this award, like a bottle of liquor, for covering a rape case with such fanfare and such I think there was some sort of, you know how somebody reports something very delicately,
yep,
but absolutely truthfully,
yep,
so as to both condemn the criminal and leave out the victim, you know?
Yeah, very sensitive. Well, I'll tell you what, Ben, we have 15 minutes, so tell us what's happening in your local area, New Zealand. What's happening over there? What's the news?
You know, I'm starting to get to the point where I can't even be bothered following the news here anymore.
Mm.
And I think maybe that's one of the frustrations that I'm feeling is every time you turn on the news and... Let's put it like this. 6 o'clock in the morning... You have First Line on TV3. There's like only really four channels that everybody can get here. So there's 1, 2, 3, and 4. 4 is like infomercials during the morning news break. And then you've got the breakfast program as well. They've got all these little news breaks in there. And then you flip from one to the other and you're like, okay, well, this one's talking about the Prime Sinister. This one's talking about the Prime Sinister too. And then you switch back and you go, this one's talking about some kind of a random drug spectacle. Okay, and this one's talking about some random drug spectacle. It's the same news. But here's the interesting thing. They not only repeat it, the exact same headlines, every 15 minutes during their morning broadcast, but they also have these little interviews in between with particular slime bags or whatever, and just like, yes, well, that's very, very, very nice. So that's all you can really expect from them is all the variance in the news is simply non-existent, okay? They all report much more the same thing. We even have a Maori channel that also has a news program that reports the exact same news as TV1 and TV3 news. Okay?
Yeah.
Such as our wonderful, you know, we've got 4 million people in this country, and apparently they all want to hear the exact same thing, which is never relevant to anything ever that's really going on in the country. Okay?
Yeah.
And recently, we've been having a number of successes, at least in the alternative media, due to rankings. And people are kind of starting to take a bit more responsibility for the fact that the news is lying to them, and just kind of they find better alternatives. And it's like, you know, when you find a flavor that is so much better than the one that you'd previously been accustomed to, and then suddenly when you go and you taste that old ice cream again, it tastes like ass and you're not keen anymore?
Yeah.
That's what it's like being exposed to real media that talks about real issues versus going back to essentially pile on pounds of brainwashing and frustration. I mean... You made an interesting point about frustration. Mate, everybody, everywhere is frustrated for one reason. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're not being who they really are.
Mm.
If you've got a slave job, if you've got a boss who doesn't give a frack about you, if you don't enjoy it, if you're sitting there the majority of the time fidgeting, shuffling your feet, folding your arms, sighing, etc. These are the signs that you should be fracking quitting And then you go, oh, worried about it. Oh, well, how will I pay my rent and everything like that? I can tell you, if you stop doing things that just don't sit right with you, suddenly the world becomes a hell of an easy yet mystical place to live in. Mm. Money shows up out of absolutely nowhere. You never have any trouble finding parking spaces. You don't worry about people and backroom chats and stuff like that around you. You don't have to get up at particular times that don't suit you unless you really want to. You don't have to associate with people unless you really want to. And suddenly the world becomes like your oyster, except you're broke, but you never go bankrupt. Mm. You always seem to, if you're always on ball and you're wanting to do what you want to do and you're not compromising, you're just going out and doing it, you can actually accomplish it. And it's funny. It's funny the way that works. The universe kind of gets out of your way, so to speak. And I think this is probably an important lesson for everybody: is just if you're doing something you're not happy with, ask yourself, why am I doing this? Is it worth it?
Exactly.
Am I growing? Am I expanding? Mm. Or am I just treading the treadmill and spending all my spare cash at the end of the week on weed and alcohol so that I can survive another week of this BS, for which I will be in the exact same position that I'm in this week? That is a depressing state of affairs. Friend of mine, he, you know, clinically depressed, doesn't exist, but he thinks he is because some trainee psychologist told him, and he's on medication. He's a guitarist, a really good guitarist at that. And I said to him, bro, if you, instead of busking on the streets, had 10,000 screaming fans in front of you while you play your guitar, would you still need that depression medication there? No. See? Well, it's your body telling you.
Exactly. I was going to say
You're not who you're meant to be. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
You have to go with the flow. There's no point. I always say there's no point being a salmon trying to swim upstream because it's too difficult. You have to go with the flow. Now, funny enough, you're talking about this. I was watching a program last night by an illusionist. He's an illusionist magician, and he does all this kind of mind, plays with your mind. And his name's Darren Brown. And he had this program on last night called Fear and Faith. And he gave these people a tablet. And these tablets were supposed to take fear away. From whatever you fear, it'll take the fear away. But what they didn't know was it was a placebo. So they were saying, oh, this tablet's brilliant. I can, you know, I'm not afraid of heights anymore. And I'm not afraid of this. And I'm not afraid of that. And then after a few weeks, after them taking it, he turned around and said, by the way, there's placebo. You were doing it yourself. You were giving yourself permission to do this. And they kind of all looked as if to say, you mean them tablets weren't anything? Yeah. And they said, yeah, it was a placebo. So the power of the mind is incredible on what we can do. I think some people are always going to be victims. Some people are always going to be the poor me. You know, feel sorry for myself. You're always going to get them people. But there are other genuine people that just really need the skills to, you know, boost their self-confidence in whatever issue they have.
And this is another thing that frustrates people, is trying to help others who can't help themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Because these people don't want to do it. I mean, it's like Munchausen by proxy in certain circumstances.
Oh, I see it like this. You put on the earth, if you've got talents or skills in some particular area, the way you apply whatever skills you have is, can I benefit my community? Can I improve the world? Can I leave this world a better place when I'm not here anymore for future generations? And then you have a look at what you're currently doing, and nothing lines up. You're not making the world a better place. You're working a cog in the machine of a tank that's manufactured depleted uranium projectile, pushing a dust storm of radiation causing frickin' death machine. All right, You're not doing anything worthwhile. You're simply working for the bad guys. So stop working for them. And suddenly, the good guys arrive. Mighty forces come to your aid. I tell you, you have no idea. It's beyond a joke. Everything that I wear, all my clothing, and everything that I use to do my show, all my computers and microphones and lights and cameras and tripods and all this other stuff, were given to me. Mm. Well, my listeners, all the best things in my life have been given to me, I've realized.
Mm.
The reason why all this stuff was given to me is because I went out and I gave my time to go and interview the activists who have been doing this stuff for a long time, who know what the heck they're talking about, who ordinarily just get soundbited away and or completely ignored by the mainstream media. And because I was providing something, I found a niche. I found a place where I could help just by doing it alone. Just by seeing a guy who's doing the right thing in front of you makes you feel inspired. Have you ever had somebody say, hey, man, keep up the good work? Hmm. Because you've actually helped them to realize that not everybody's a scumbag. And even just one person holding a 9/11 as an inside job sign in front of an entire crowd full of people holding Obama signs can make a huge difference to how those people who are already awake. And that's why I do my radio show. Ultimately, it's not to wake people up, but to help those people who are already awake feel encouraged and not frustrated anymore, to feel like they're not alone, to feel like they can have some fun, to feel like they can laugh, and to feel like they can make it through. Mm. No matter how bad things really get, there'll always be a voice of reason. There'll always be a hero that you can look up to and embody and what have you, you know? And that's what I'm doing. I'm just embodying all these heroic people of the past and the present. And so in hopes that maybe I'll be seen as a hero in future or whatever. But ultimately, it ain't really about me. I don't really care what happens to me. All I really care about is doing the right thing. And because that's the only thing I care about, bad things stop happening to me.
Mm.
And good things start happening to me. Lots of them. Mm. All the time. But it's not mystical.
Yeah.
I was out there, people saw me, people started listening, and then people started supporting me. Okay? It's just that simple. If you're doing the right thing, do it with your voice. Do it with your proper name. Be out there for people to recognize and associate with and contribute to. I dislike people using pseudonyms and all of that kind of stuff. I mean, I can understand the mentality because we've got our lives at risk here. But I think that the time for boldness has returned, kind of like in a crusader sense of the word. Mm. And we should not be afraid of our persecution, to the point where if you're afraid of getting persecuted before you've even done anything and then stop yourself from doing anything, then the mind control has worked its wonder on you. If you listen to this radio show and you've been listening to Patriot Talk Radio for 20-odd years or something, and you haven't done a fracking thing, you haven't even gone so much to a protest, you haven't so much as donated to a talk radio show host or YouTuber or something like that who you want to support, foster, and encourage. If you haven't sent an email to that person thanking them for doing the job that you can't because you've got a slave job, And it's really crushing you and you haven't yet made the leap to just quit and be a leaf on the breeze, as it were. Okay? Contribute something. Mm. Anything. It's better than nothing.
Even a donation that helps. Finn, we have a minute left. Do you want to give us a rundown of your website and all the stuff that people need to get in touch with you?
Okay. Well, if you search Vinny Eastwood, that's Vinny with a Y and Eastwood as in go ahead, make my news. TheVinnyEastwoodShow.com. That's TheVinnyEastwoodShow.com. Or just Google me. Or you can Google my name plus anybody else's name that you can think of. I've interviewed 300 plus people or more And been on 100 other different radio shows with many, many different people from all over the world, from England and Canada and the USA and New Zealand and Australia and blah, 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 blah.
And Ireland.
With everybody. Okay? So if you want to have some fun, if you want to have a laugh, if you want to talk about anything, come to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Or go to Google and just Google my name plus the name of anybody else you can think of. I've interviewed David Icke, Foster Gamble, G. Edward Griffin, and a whole bunch of other names. There's a featured interviews page. There's a jokes page. I am a great lame joke creation machine. There is the jokes page. It's underneath humor. Humor is, in fact, a bunch of pictures that I've come up with the concepts for, and another volunteer has made them up for me. We have videos, long-form documentaries, DVDs, archives up to Wazoo, commercial-free archives as well, special off-air interviews with guests like Heinrich Palmgren of Red Ice Radio. There is so much available at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com that the average visit length is about 48 minutes.
Fantastic. All right, Vinny, on that note, we'd just like to say thanks a lot for coming on United We Win, United We Strike Radio Marathon. Thanks a lot. And we'll go to a little musical break, and we'll be back after this.